Thank you so much, Zach. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Amen. I love that song because it describes our God for who He is. He is our good, good Father. I saw something a while back that was on a church sign in a small town, and it said, "There's a good, good chance we're going to sing Good, Good Father this good, good Sunday." So there you go. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to join me in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, as we continue this series we began a couple of weeks ago entitled Kingdom Thoughts. In Matthew chapter 13, as we have found, Jesus lays out some of the principles of the kingdom of God, how it works, and how it is to grow. And so we're going to continue this morning by looking at verses 33 through 35. And we're going to see that if we're going to be the people of the kingdom, there has to be change. There has to be. Let's begin by having a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your presence with us. We thank You for the fact that we have already experienced Your presence as we worshiped in song. Now our worship continues this time. It continues through Your word. May I speak Your words, the words from Your heart to our hearts. And may we have the ears to hear. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Al Jennings was born in Oklahoma in 1863. He was one of three boys. His dad was a judge. However, as this gentleman named Al Jennings grew up, the law, well, the practice of law didn't seem to be what he desired. So he and one of his brothers became cowboys. They began pushing cows across the Oklahoma territory. Well, that got old pretty quick. Saddle sores don't heal too fast. So they decided that, well, they'd just be outlaws. So they did a couple of minor crimes and got a couple of other guys with them, and they were going to go big time and start robbing trains. And in the first train, they actually got it to stop. They got into the car where the safe was, and they couldn't get it open. They left empty-handed. The next time, they found the safe. And one of the guys looked at Al and said, "Hey, we can't get this thing open again." He said, "I came prepared. I've been waiting for this." And so he pulled out dynamite. He put a long fuse in it, put it right underneath the safe, and then the guys all ran. "How much did you put, Al?" "Takes a lot for a safe." It took care of the safe, as well as the entire train of the car. There was no sign of the safe, no sign of money. There were just scraps of wood and metal everywhere. Again, failed. Next time, pretty much same thing. You'd think they hire a safe cracker, but they got so mad, they went through the car and robbed everybody on the train of every dime they had. By this time, the other guys that had joined Al and his brother became frustrated. They're like, "We ain't making no money. Y'all can have it. We're gone." And one of the toughest lawmen in all of Oklahoma heard about him, and he tracked him down. Found him hiding in the back of a wagon under blankets. So he arrested them. Both were tried and convicted. One brother got 5 years, Al got life. But, as fate would have it, remember Al's dad was a judge who happened to know a man named Teddy Roosevelt, who was the president of the United States. So, both brothers were pardoned, walked away. One brother went back to the home place, but not Al. Al went to where anything can happen, where you can be anything you want. Al went to Hollywood. And Al convinced these directors and producers that he was this Wild West outlaw, that he had done all these great exploits, and eventually made his way into being a technical advisor in these Western movies, these silent movies they were doing. He even began to act in some of them. And believe it or not, in 1951, there was a movie that came out. It was entitled Al Jennings of Oklahoma. It was about the great outlaw. And it was pretty much poppycock, the whole thing. Point is this. Here's a guy who started out as a cowboy, became an outlaw, went to prison thinking it was for the rest of his life. But when he got out, everything changed. He became a different person. One of the biggest lies of the devil is that you will never change. That's a lie. You can change. And if you're a child of God, hopefully you are changing. You are in process. I am nowhere near the person I was. Wow, to say 30 years ago? Wow. Some of y'all, do you remember when you thought 40 was ancient? You remember that? I look at 40-year-olds now and call them kids. I'm nowhere near that person. I don't dress the same. I don't eat the same. I don't talk the same. Thank the good Lord. I wear my hair differently. I'm not that person. Change is possible, and that is what this parable is about. It's a parable of change. So let's look at our text, and we'll begin in verse 33. Again, we're in Matthew chapter 13. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd and in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken of the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Now the first thing I want us to see here is that Christ is the leaven. I know it says yeast here in the NIV, but I grew up a long time ago and I got used to saying leaven. So I'll probably jump back and forth. But Christ is the leaven, now, or the yeast. And what does that mean? It means that back in those days, and still today, is that you can take dough and you bake something. Hopefully yeast rolls. And you call me when you do. But you make that dough and you make the yeast rolls and the dough rises. So what you do is you pinch off a little bit of that dough and you put it aside. You store it. You save it. And as time goes by, that yeast, that leaven will ferment. And so when it comes time to cook again, you take the dough that you're going to use for pizza, because I like pizza too, and you're going to take this, and then you're going to add that piece of leaven that you saved. And you're going to put it in that dough. Notice Jesus said here, this woman put this yeast in about 60 pounds of flour. That's a lot of biscuits. And then you work it, and you get it in there. And what happens is that little bit of yeast, that little bit of leaven, changes everything about the dough. It will literally change the nature of the dough. And you go from having tortillas, which have no yeast in them, to having a nice big roll. That's the difference. It changes everything. Now, there's something else here, is that when you put that yeast or that leaven into the flour, it does act. It does change. But do you hear it? Do you hear the change taking place? Have you ever been in a bakery? Oh, we were in Iowa, a little town called Pella, Iowa. You ever heard of Pella Windows? Pella, Iowa. Believe it or not, it's the birthplace of Wyatt Earp. I was a happy boy. But downtown, it's like the old downtown. You know, they got the square and everything with the park in the middle, you know, the court. And they have a German bakery. I walked into that place and I said to myself, this is what heaven will smell like. Oh. And I bought a loaf of bread. It was just a loaf of uncut, unsliced bread. And it had a little indention in the top. And it was yellow from the butter. Ooh, that's holy. That's holy bread. You can take communion with that stuff. If I lived in Pella, Iowa, I couldn't get through those doors if you opened both of them at the same time. But when I was in there, they were cooking. I could see them in the back. You know what I did not hear? Not one time did I hear Doe going, help me, I'm changing, I don't want to do this. Not one time did I hear this Doe about to go in the oven going, no, never. Why? It works silently. You see, we live in a world that likes the grand, the big, the loud. Now, sometimes that's okay. If I'm at a Doobie Brothers concert, I want it loud. Well, you think I have no hair? Well, that's one of the reasons. But when God is working in our lives, many times it's silent. Many times he's working in ways we can't see or hear. There'll be times that you'll be praying about something and you will seek God so desperately. And you will seek him for so long, you think that God has forgotten you, that God has just walked away. What you don't know is he is working silently behind the scenes in ways that you can't see. And one day you are blindsided by the very answer you've been waiting for so long. The question is God working in you that way right now? Silently, in ways that some days you don't even notice, but he is working. You see, Jesus Christ is the leaven. He is the yeast in society itself. And we talked about last week how that we are not to despise the little, just like the little mustard seed. Great things come from the most minuscule beginnings. And here God is saying, don't despise the change. Yes, it may start really small, but it can become really massive. When Jesus came to earth, he changed everything. He split time into. And God was already working before he got here. I mean, you remember the wise men? They had been studying the works of the prophets for years. And then they saw the star and they made their way to Bethlehem. God's working in the hearts of shepherds. In the heart of a little teenage girl named Mary. The man who would become her husband, Joseph. He was working, preparing them. A cousin named Elizabeth who gave birth to a boy named John. Whose ministry was to go and prepare the way. Jesus lived in a small country of Israel, but he changed it forever. I don't care if you're the most devout Jew that ever lived, you've heard of Jesus. And then he went to the cross, and there he bled and he died. He changed everything. What started so small. And then 3 days later, he burst forth from the tomb and everything was changed forever. It's all about change. We can change. Listen to what a guy named, this guy's name is Lloyd John Ogilvy. Lloyd John Ogilvy is one of my favorite writers. He, back in the, I guess, 80s, maybe into the 90s, he was the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood, California. And he looked like Hollywood, California. He had a voice that when you heard him talk, you're like, that's what God sounds like. I mean, it's just this deep, rich voice. Later became the chaplain of the Senate. And just so intelligent. But this is what he says about what we're talking about this morning in our text. He says, Christ brought an entirely new element into life, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God in all of life. Christ's life message was the insertion of the leaven. His death infuses its power. His resurrection released its prevailing dynamic. His presence in the Holy Spirit is now permeating the whole life. The bread is rising. That's the God we serve. He is constantly working in society. He is constantly attempting to work in us. This parable, if you wanted to give it a name, you could call it the parable of transformation. The parable of transformation, just as the yeast transforms the dough, it is the Christ, the resurrected Christ, and His Holy Spirit working in us that transforms us. Or it should. It should. That's what we see. The second thing is that the Christian has the dough. We're the dough. Christ, He is the leaven. So how does this work? Well, what happens is that we come to Christ humbly. And we ask Him to forgive us of our sins. And when he does that, when He forgives us, we're just lumpy old dough. You ever felt like lumpy old dough? You ever had one of those lumpy old dough days? You didn't feel like rising? Here He is. It's us. We're just lumpy old dough until that yeast, it is the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, it is His Holy Spirit, invades our lives and then begins to permeate every fiber, every cell of us, even to the deepest, deepest parts of us. You see, when we come to Christ, He knows all our faults. He knows all our failures. He knows every sin, every bad thought, everything. And He loves us anyway. There aren't many people like that. I mean, even mamas have their limits. You ever had your mama tell you, boy, you look at me like that one more time, I'm going to knock you in the next year? I wish my mom were here. I'd give her that look just one more time. Even mamas have their limits, but not God. And even though He accepts you as you are, He's not going to leave you that way. He loves you too much. I mean, think back to the day that you gave your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Do you ever wish you were that person again on that day? Maybe we wish for that feeling, that newness, that freshness, but do you wish you were that person with all the faults, all the pains, all the cares, all the sin? No, never. I don't ever want to go back to there. I don't want to ever go back to that time. Why? Because for many, many, many years, He has been working on me. He has been working His leaven, His yeast through the dough of my life. He has been actively working to change me. And one of the ways He does that is through His Holy Spirit. You see, who was it? Francis Chan. A few years ago wrote a book called The Forgotten God. You need to read it sometime. The Forgotten God is a book on the Holy Spirit. Because he says, you know, we have no problem talking about God the Father. We love talking about Jesus, but we don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons is the Holy Spirit's been abused so much. And I get that. I do. And I've told you before, I come from that background. And you know, that's what I grew up in. I could stand up here and tell you stories all day. Some make you laugh till you cried. Some make you cry till you laughed. But the Holy Spirit is real. And it is He who is working in our lives. Remember that old song, Never Alone, Never Alone? You aren't. Why? Because the Holy Spirit resides in you. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives birth to gifts that you have. Isn't it so neat that we come to God and we ask Him to forgive us of our sin, and He not only forgives us of all the wrong, every sin that we have done ultimately against Him, but then He gives us gifts on top of that. The Bible talks about those gifts. There are many. I'm not going to try to stand up here and give you a dissertation on spiritual gifts this morning. We don't have time for that. I know Anthony told me to preach as long as I want, and I could feel the beams about to explode in the back of my head when he said it. No, you don't. We got reservations for lunch. You ain't doing that today. But think about it. I mean, he does. And you may have the gift of mercy. You may have the gift of administration, the gift of hospitality. There are many, many gifts. But those are things that he gave you to help you be who you were created to be. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, tells us that we were created for good works. God already had a to-do list for you before you ever got saved. Now, we don't get saved by our works. We work because we're saved. It is a way of expressing our love to Him. It is the way that the church functions, the way that the church grows, the way that we grow. If you want to be a good athlete, you're not going to be a good athlete sitting in the locker room or on the bench. You get better by playing. You get better by getting out on the practice field. You get better by getting in the game and getting some playing time. We don't become better Christians by sitting up in the stands watching everybody else do it. We have to engage in the battle. We grow in those times that we are stretched. We grow in those times of great tribulation. We grow in those times when we think we're done, but God's not done. And He has the final word. He says, come on, let's go. You got this. Now, a couple of things happens as we are gifted with it, with His Holy Spirit, as we begin to grow. And one of the things is that as He forgives us, most of us, I'm going to say this, most of us, there are some people that really struggle with this first thing, but the point is this, He forgives us so that we are enabled to forgive ourselves. You wanna know what kind of person someone is? Let me tell you the best way. Go play golf with them. I'm telling you, that's why I don't play golf with church folk. I don't play enough to get good. I just play enough to stay frustrated. You see, you know, when they get out on that golf course, man, everything just, you're like, really? You did that? And it's worse because there was a time in my life I played 3 or 4 days a week. I could do it because of my job. So I played 3 or 4 days a week, and even though I was self-taught, I was getting pretty good. And then I went to seminary and didn't pick up a golf club for like three years or more. And so you're out on the course, and there's this shot, and you've made it 100 times. And you line it up, and you got that little iron there, and then you make that shot, and you're like, what a maroon. What were you thinking? And then you do it again, and then again, and then you have a choice to make. It's either get in the car and drive back to the clubhouse, or you're going to throw your clubs into that pond in which you just put 14 balls. Those are only two choices. I mean, seriously, one day I'm playing with my son-in-law, and I was playing so awful, I told him after one shot, I said, move over, I'm driving, you're playing, I'm done. But the problem I have in golf is I can't forget that last shot. You see, I made a bad shot, and then that shot, I carry it on with me to the next hole, to the next tee box, to the next green. And then I do it again. And again, and it just keeps adding up. And before long, I'm just frustrated. I'm angry. Some of you are doing that with your life. You sinned. God forgave you. Guess what? You're going to sin again because you're not perfect. I hate to break it to you. And I don't mean to tell you your mama was lying, but she is stretching it when she said you were perfect. I know some of y'all. No. Mm-mm. But then what you allow to happen is for that sin to haunt you. Instead of learning from it, asking forgiveness for it, and moving on, you just keep putting it in your duffel bag. Or like we like to hike, so I always carry a backpack. You hear me? When we hike, I always carry a backpack. Someone carries a stick, so they'll keep moving with the backpack. But it's kind of like that backpack. If I mess up and I misstep, and I take that misstep and I put it in the backpack, and then the next time I do it again, I put it in the backpack. Before long, I can't carry the backpack. It's too heavy. That's what you're doing with your life. You just keep loading it up. He forgave you. His Holy Spirit is working in you so that you can be comfortable inside your own skin. For many of us, we look at our enemy almost first thing every morning. And that enemy is not the spouse, it's that person in the window. That person in the mirror, excuse me. We look in that mirror, that's our biggest enemy. Let it go. He's forgiven you. You now have the ability to forgive yourself. Second is that it's not only the things, but for some, the biggest problems we have is the attitudes and the experiences of our life. We can't put them behind us. You ever had somebody tell you needed an attitude adjustment? Have you ever attempted to give somebody an attitude adjustment? If you have children, the answer is, yeah, I needed to do that a time or two. So what happens so often is that we let life get to us and then it gets to our attitudes. You look at everything that's going on in the world today. It takes me walking through the den in the morning to get a bad attitude because my wife's got the news on and I'm just, It's just easy because the world's so messed up. It seems like everything's been turned upside down. But God wants you to know this morning that He's still the same God He was a year ago, 5 years ago, 3 decades ago, 2,000 years ago when He rose again on the third day. He ain't changed. He has not lost one bit of power. He has not given away any of His power to any person. He is Christ. And if we're going to be the church, if we're going to be the transformed church, if we're going to be the church and the people that God desires us to be, we got to get our eyes off of what's out there and put it on the one who's up there. I used to tell my staff in my last church, and we'd be talking about something and an issue or problem, and I always remind them, guys, at the end of the day, it's always a spiritual problem. At the end of the day, I don't care what the issue is, you can trace it back to a spiritual issue. You see, He wants to change our attitudes. Because what happens, again, is those attitudes, that bad attitude, those experiences you can't let go of, that mind thing, what happens is, those become barriers. Barriers. There's people you don't like to be around because of their attitude. They're never happy. You never see them smile. I've pastored churches for 5-8 years, and there were people, I promise you, I stood in front of that church every Sunday. I don't think I ever once saw them crack a smile. I can't imagine going through life that miserable, and that's not where God wants you to be. He wants to bring down those barriers so that we can love one another, so that we can be there for one another, so we can lift each other up, so that we can laugh together, share joy together. Do you have that person in your life that if something really, really good happened to you, you'd call them because you know they're going to be as excited as you are? That's one thing I like about women. They don't hold nothing back. Somebody has a baby, it's like, ooh, I can't believe that is so awesome. That is so good. And you thought they just had the kid. Maybe that's why they're so happy. They didn't have the kid. But they, and they, you just hear them all over the house. I mean, my wife has been on the phone with somebody, and it was some really good news, and we're in the car going down the road with the radio on, mind you. And my wife would turn to me and she said, did you? I heard it. I heard every word of it. I don't need to hear it again, because they were so excited. You could hear them all the way through the phone over the radio. Why can't we be that excited about Christ? How does that happen? Well, I think one of the first things we see is that it happens by focus. Monitor there. It happens by focus. What you focus on, you become. That's why we need to be careful who our heroes are. That's why we need to be careful what we watch. It's kind of like going down the road, and maybe you've gone down this road 100 times, and suddenly there's a house that you never noticed before. And if you're like me, what do? I've never seen that house before. And the car keeps going one way, your head's going the other way, and guess what happens? Sooner or later, where's your car go? Where your head's at. You're going to be off in a ditch somewhere. Same is true spiritually. We go where our focus is. And if our focus is not on Christ, you see, more focus, more Christ. If our focus is not on Christ, we're losing. This is what Jesus was talking about. John chapter 15, verse 4. Look what he says. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If we're not plugged in, if we're not grafted into Christ, where is our energy? Where is our strength coming from? And where is our focus? It's only through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That covers everything. He's the way to God. He is the truth in all matters. And he is living. He is life. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're missing the mark. There's no way without Christ that you will ever be truly, truly successful. Because you don't have the key. Jesus is the key. Okay, so, Stuart, I've been in Christ for a while. I came to Christ a number of years ago, but I'm struggling. I've been struggling for a long time. What's the answer? Well, let's go to a guy named Paul. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. See that word conformed? It means to be like. We got way too many people trying to conform to ideas, ideology, false theology, and pleasures because of the fact that they have no convictions. Know what you believe and know why. It's about convictions, not conforming to this world, but be transformed. There's that word again. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see that? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to change your world, change how you think. You remember what I said about walking through the den and suddenly being in a bad mood? Why? It's because of the way I think about it. Nobody can change my mood but me. Me. It is not, and you've heard this so many times before, it is not what happens to you that matters. It's how you respond to what happens to you. Coaches, Coach Jimmy Reeves back there has coached a lot of ball games. I've seen some of them. And there's been players, I'm sure he could stand up here and tell you, he would tell you that there were players that he coached that never reached their potential because of their mindset. They never thought they could. And it's one of the most frustrating things in the world to a coach. You know they can be better, and you just can't convince them of it. Well, this is just me. This is just who I am. Some of y'all like that spiritually. Well, this is just the way I am. Change the way you are by changing how you think. What do you think about it? Wrong question. What does Jesus think about it? Now you conform your thinking to what he's thinking. How much better would we be? Where else would we be? Last thing, I want you to understand this. With all this said, Jesus Christ is the leaven. The leaven's been put in us. In that, he has given us gifts and abilities. He gives us strength, power. The Holy Spirit is a guide. He is a comfort. He is a teacher. So where does that leave us? Pretty much where we are. You're not here by accident. You were born when you were born because God is sovereign and he ordained it. You didn't get a say in the matter. Because, you know, I have these certain theme songs in life, you know, that you have like life songs. I have one, it's kind of old now, but it's by that great songwriter, Toby Keith. I should have been a cowboy. See, if I'd had my pick, I would have been born when Al Jennings was born in 1863. I wouldn't have been pastoring. I would have been out west herding cattle. Herding cattle is easier than pastoring. Pastoring is more like herding cats. Because everybody's doing their own thing, going their own way. Nobody's listening. And just like cats, people in the church look at you like you're an idiot. You ever seen a cat? They're like, really, dude? That's the way people in the church do. But I wasn't ordained to do that. I was ordained to be in this time, in this place, to do his kingdom work in this moment. I don't get to second guess that. God has a plan for your life. You may not get it yet. You may not have fully discovered it yet. But he has a plan and a purpose. And God gave me something many years ago, and I've tried to hang on to that. But I've been in situations, I'll be honest with you, I just wanted to bail. I wanted to go. And he told me one time, a long time ago, he said, you bloom where you're planted. Because I'm the one that planted you there. Dude, that is so hard, isn't it? Because he planted us in this garden or this forest, and we want to be over here in this garden or this forest. It's nicer, it's better. And God said, no, I put you here. I gave you talents. I gave you gifts to use here and now. Now, we saw Zach's talents, at least a couple of them. He can play guitar and he can sing. What are yours? Do the people closest to you know your talent? Your gifts? Have you asked God how to best use your talents. I told you a couple of weeks ago that I have a buddy, it may have been last week, he says, my spiritual talent is the gift of gab. I can talk to anybody about anything and make them think I actually know what I'm talking about when I'm clueless. My other spiritual gift is probably sarcasm. That's a really good one. I'm good at that. If you don't believe me, just ask my wife. But there are other talents. I enjoy writing. I don't know if I'm any good at it, but he gave me a talent. This is what you're going to do. Right now, I'm working on a devotional that'll be sent out every day, at least Monday through Friday, and we'll either do it, I got to call a graphic artist friend of mine, and we're going to do it either by Facebook or email or maybe both. Won't take you no more than 3 minutes or so to read it, but maybe it'll help you focus on your day. I enjoy that. What is it that God has given you? What is it that he says, this is what I want you, this is how I want, just think of it this way. He is the leaven, he is the yeast in our lives, correct? We got that part? You are leaven. You are yeast in this world. Just as his leaven changes us, we're to be out there allowing him to use us to change our world. And you're like, well, I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. I can't sing. I can't teach. Can you talk? Can you smile? I mean, one of the most amazing things you can do, let's take a poll here, okay? Let's take a poll. I want you to be honest with me. How many of you guys are going out to eat today? Do you see all these men look at their wives? Well, we going or what? I don't know. Most of us are going out to eat. Here's what you do. Before you get up from the table, before you leave, look at your waiter or waitress, your server, and say, has anybody told you God loves you today? And if they hadn't, I want you to know that. And then so help me goodness, if you don't leave a good tip, I will hunt you down. And leave a good tip. Did you know, I've known waiters and waitresses over the years that refused to work on Sunday because it was church people and they wouldn't tip. God has blessed us to bless others. Stop being a cheapskate. I'll get off that soapbox. Now, maybe God lays it on your heart. What would happen if when that waitress had brought you your drink, says, excuse me, we're about to say grace over our food. Is there anything I can pray with you about? Is there any need in your life? Now, they're going to originally look at you like you're nuts. I've got finals coming up next week, or my mom's in the hospital, or my dad's not been doing, my kids are sick, and you say, okay, we're going to pray for them. It might not be a big deal, except to them. Because now you may be the answer to their prayer. God, I need a sign. I need to know you're there. That's you. You are the yeast. You are the leaven. You see, that's the point. That's another point of this parable. This parable is going to do one of two things, or maybe both, in that this parable should give us comfort in the fact that Jesus Christ is the leaven. He is working in us. But it confronts us in the fact that we are also to be leaven. And it asks the question, are you being that agent of change? Maybe it does both. That's where I find myself a lot of times. One part of me is going, man, I'm so glad God's the leaven and you know Jesus is working with me through the Holy Spirit because I can't do it on my own. And then there's another part of me going, man, you need to be a lot more like leaven. You need to be a lot more like that yeast out there working. But just like last week, one of the words we can use in describing this parable, it's not just about transformation, it is about hope.
hope. Because you can change. You may not want to change, but you can change. And when God asks us to change, it is always for the better. For our better, for His kingdom's better, for the church better. Where are you at? Where are you at in all this? Is His leaven working in you? Do you feel Him silently working in the background? Do you see the changes in you over the last year, 5 years, 20, 30 years? Do you have hope? That not only you can change, but He's changing this world? And all that craziness out there, believe it or not, that could be part of His plan. And we look at it, we get angry, and Jesus is looking down at us going, would you be quiet? I got them right where I want them. I got this. Where you at? This morning, we're going to close in prayer. Like we said a month or so ago, because of COVID, I know some of you feel uncomfortable coming forward. That's fine. I get it. But do know this. As I said last week, you're loved. You're cared for. And at any time you need to talk, anytime you need to yell at somebody, anytime you have a question or just something you want to get off your chest, I'm here. Just give me a buzz. There's my cards out on a little table out there, and just give me a buzz. Give me 5 minutes, I'll have the coffee on. Don't mean you got to drink it, but you're missing one good cup of coffee. We'll pray together. What do you need? So, the question, where are you? As we pray, why don't you speak to Christ about that? Heavenly Father, just a few little verses. Just a few little verses. But it means so much. It packs such a punch. And sometimes it hits me, and it hits me really hard, because I see that what the leaven has done, your leaven has done in my life, and I'm afraid I'm not doing all I could, would, or should with that in my world and in the lives of others. I pray that you would open our eyes to the gifts, the talents, and the purpose which you have placed within each of us. And I pray that in the midst of all that we would be willing to step out in faith so that we might make a difference in others' lives. So they will observe what you're doing in us, and maybe that will help increase their faith to know that you can do that or more in their lives. That we will allow you to change our attitudes, change our responses, change and renew our minds. That we begin to think like you. That we will see things first and foremost from your perspective, not just our own. I pray that as we walk out these doors, that our thought was, or is, it's not just, it's good to be going home. But as we walk out these doors, we understand we're walking into our mission field. We're walking into the lives of those that need you most. We hate when people use us. But right now, more than ever before, we need to be used by you. For those who are heavy-hearted, may you lift the burden. For those that are fighting tears of sorrow, may you give tears of joy. For those with questions, may you be the answer this morning. For those of us who are convicted by what we have seen or heard here today, May we open ourselves up to your change. Again, you are an awesome God. We thank you for your presence with us today. And may we carry your presence into a lost and dying world. And it's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen.